Well, good morning and a welcome to everyone. Grateful for each one that's here for this part of the service. I noticed Emmanuel and Phoebe are here with us today. It's good to have you here. We're happy that you could be here today. There's a few other people that have reappeared recently that maybe we haven't mentioned. Trevor is back and we welcome you back as well. It's good to have you back. I'll probably miss some people now. I know Faith was back from Texas. I'm not sure if she's here today. My sister Leona is also back from Mexico. So just a blessing to reconnect and have our congregation be able to share time together. So happy Father's Day. Apparently I'm your new holiday preacher. I believe it's, since I've been ordained, I think it was only my first message that wasn't influenced by either a holiday or was an assigned message. I'm starting to wonder if maybe the Lord feels I'm not mature enough to pick my own content. For a message today, this is probably going to be speaking to me as much as anyone, but I was thinking about what to share on Father's Day. And we have a little bit of these assumptions sometimes about maybe what happens in a Father's Day message, and I was thinking about some things, and I was talking to my Uncle Ben from West Haven last Sunday, and he was telling me that they're having a picnic today. Their church is meeting at a park, and someone else is coming in and preaching a Father's Day message, and they're going to grill, and they're spending the afternoon together. I thought, well, that sounds like a nice thing to do. And sometimes I think we just we beat up a little bit on the dads. And so I thought about that some, and I thought, well, maybe today we can have a little bit of an encouragement to those of us that have fathers. And the encouragement, or I would say the intent of the message is this: to call us to a renewed appreciation for our fathers, to see beyond their imperfections, to understand our duty to honor and respect them, to extend forgiveness for times that we have been hurt or wronged, to encourage the cultivation of healthy relationships, even if we need to instigate it, to count our blessings, and to realize that my failure to do the above mentioned are to my own hurt. And I've entitled the message, and this is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, and the title of the message is, That It May Be Well With Thee. Turn with me to that scripture, a familiar scripture in Ephesians 6. I just want to read the first four verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now I also want to preface the message here with the understanding that there's a wide range of experience that people have had, that you all have had with your father. So when you think about, let's step back from our congregation, let's look at this as a world picture. You're going to have people on one side that are going to say, I had a wonderful father. My dad was everything that you could want from a dad. He taught me, he was an authoritative father, he taught me truth, he loved me, He helped me succeed and did everything that he was everything a dad could be. On the other side, you had people that had the experience to say, my dad despised me. My dad abused me in every way possible, and my dad told me he hopes I never amount to anything. So we've got that entire spectrum, and all of us falls in there somewhere. Now let's bring that into our church here. And within the church here, we all fall into that spectrum somewhere. And I think we might be surprised sometimes if we had a conversation directly with each person in our church, we might be surprised at how wide that range is. And so I understand that bringing a message like this, we're dealing with that. And so sometimes there's a difficulty of speaking, of being able to speak to every individual because of the differences of experience. But my goal today would be that this could be a positive message that could minister to us regardless of where we fall in that spectrum. Now, I want to break things down a little bit, and I'd like to talk a little bit I guess we're going to divide this a little bit into age groups, and I'd like to talk to each age group a little bit. And this could be a little bit open, too. I would welcome some of your feedback in this, but the first one's going to be to the children. And so you children that are here today, I'd like for you to listen up a little bit. So this is especially, we're going to say, if you're from age 1 to 12, we're going to consider you. I want to talk to you a little bit here. You just heard the verses in Ephesians that said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that's God talking to you. That's God talking to anyone that's a child. God is telling you, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I want to ask you a question. What is your favorite thing to do with your dad? And you're allowed to answer this if you want to. What's any one of you, what is something that you enjoy to do with your dad? Yes, back here. Yeah. Go golfing. Good, I like that. That's wonderful. Anything else? Okay, good. I think every one of you enjoys when your dad does something with you. Is that right? You enjoy when your dad spends time and do something that's fun for you to do. You enjoy that. Now I want to ask you, does your dad ever make you sad? You can just shake your head yes or no. Did your dad ever make you sad? Did your dad ever do something that hurt your feelings? I'm going to guess that probably your dad did something sometime that hurt your feelings, and you were like, why did he do that? Why would he do that? And I'm not talking about a punishment. I'm talking about when he said something to you that actually hurt your feelings. So you got to understand that your dad's not perfect, and your dad's a human. God still calls you to obey your dad, even though he messed up sometimes. God also calls you to forgive your dad, and I hope your dad says to you that he's sorry. And you need to forgive him. And that's an important thing for you to remember, that your dad's not always going to be perfect. And when your dad's not perfect, you should be able to forgive him anyway. And I think we have dads here that I think your parents love you. I'm convinced of that. And so you're blessed in that regard. But just remember that if your dad does something that hurts you, remember that you can forgive him and that you still need to obey him. Now our next group here is, we're going to go, and these ages are generalized, so don't feel offended if you find yourself on one end or the other and are getting mixed together, but we're going to go 13 to 20, and we're going to call you teenagers. I'm going to ask you, what do you most appreciate or admire about your dad? And you're allowed to answer this question. Okay, I'll ask you this. Do you ever get mad at your dad? Okay, how many teenagers are here? How many are in between 13 and 20? Did your dad ever do anything that made you upset? Can we get a guess for that or no? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of to be expected. Your dad probably did something that upset you. It's really important at this stage of life that you understand, too, that your dad's not perfect. But it's also important that you understand that you have a responsibility to obey your dad. And this is probably a stage of life when it's a little bit, and again, this varies some, but it might be a little hard for you to admire your dad sometimes and to appreciate some things about your dad. But God calls you to respect and obey and extend forgiveness to your dad in the times that he messes up. I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. This feels like a really harsh passage, of Scripture. But God here gave this commandment. He said, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I think Jewish tradition would say that, I'm not sure that this ever actually happened, that the elders would have allowed them to then stone their children. But I believe this gives us a picture of how important it is to God that we have a respect for our fathers and our parents. It's a command of God that's given very specifically in Scripture, and it's rather astounding that he would have actually imparted death to we were talking here to teenagers, but let's say a teenager that doesn't understand their father and would rebel against him, that God would actually say that person is deserving of death. It gives us a picture of just how important the thing of obedience and respect to parents is. Now the next age group here, we're going to go 21 to 40. I want to ask you a question. Do you see any traits of your dad in yourself? This might be especially the men. And I'm wondering, do you want to parent like your dad did? And it's kind of interesting as we start to go through these phases of life, how some of our thought patterns start to change and they start to shift. I think it might be fairly normal in this stage of life to think that I'm going to do some things differently than my dad did. And that doesn't necessarily mean I don't appreciate or respect my dad, but we kind of have this idea that there's quite a bit that could be done better, quite a bit that could be done different. One of the questions I would ask is, what steps are necessary if we want to do things differently? And I want to think a little on the story of the prodigal son. And this is now getting to this point where he left his father, and this son gets to the point, and I don't know how much time took place in that story, but he gets to a point where he begins to understand and he begins to realize some things, and he's beginning to turn his heart back to his father. And I think this story applies as we think about coming to a point in life where we realize and understand some of these things differently than we once did. It seems at this stage of life, there's good opportunity to salvage relationships that were strained or did not exist. So we start to want to mend maybe relationships that were strained, and yet we kind of want to do some things differently. And so there's some of that tension that goes on. Here again, I think it's really important that we maintain an understanding and of the need to respect our fathers. And at this stage of life, I think is where we begin to see some of the values that they have passed along to us. I think it's also important that we understand, as if there is some things that were legitimate problems, that we understand that there's a responsibility on myself if I'm not going to continue some of that. And so we need to be thinking about some of those things too. We also have to be very much aware that if we can't extend forgiveness now, I believe we're very much setting ourselves on a course where reconciliation does become very difficult, and in some cases never happens. I think it's a critical time when if there has been estrangement, that reconciliation can happen. And that's where I bring in that story of the Good Samaritan. I'm sorry, the prodigal son. Now the next age group is, I'm going to go 41 to 65, and I know that feels like a big one for you young 40-year-olds, but it would be very interesting if we opened it up this morning and asked you that are in that age group to talk to us about your dad. Because I think at this stage, we'd start to hear some very different things as people talk about their dads. And there's something about having experienced enough of life now that you get to a point where all of a sudden it seems that there's this newfound, just a deepened appreciation for who your father is or was, and also a keen sense of the fact that you now see yourself and some of your failures and shortcomings as a father, and so now you can understand your father even better. I would ask it that at that stage of life, how are you and how do you honor your father? I think it's really important in getting to that age in life that we realize that one of the important parts of Jesus' teaching or God's instruction to his people about caring for or respecting their father and their mother meant caring for them when they could no longer physically care for themselves. I think that's a very, very important part. And I think I've seen that be done well here. And I would just encourage you in that. Proverbs 23, there's a scripture I want to read there. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25. It says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." So he's by the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. That verse 22 would get that idea, despise not your mother when she's old, talking about caring for your parents. I think this is also a stage of life I've seen some where people have to work at forgiving themselves as parents. And I think it's important that in all of this that we continue to understand that despite the change, despite the shifts in what's happening in life, that one thing that remains constant, that God commands my respect to my father, and that we continue to teach that to those that are coming behind us. I was thinking about the next age group. Most people in there don't have their fathers anymore, and usually they just tell you that life is short and spend more time with your children, and that's good advice. I'd like to shift now and talk a little bit about some of the issues that are working against us as it relates to good relationships between fathers and children, and especially in cases where the relationship is not the way that it should be. The attitudes in our culture toward authority, in this case, fatherhood. And that's a big, I guess if you don't understand that our culture has a problem with respect of authority, then probably you'll get a chance to see that this week if you come to Bible school. But there has been, it seems, an increasing disrespect for authority within our country, within our nation, in our schools. And while we've been able to somewhat shelter ourselves from that, I think it's starting to create its inroads into our church. And it starts to affect us. And that culture of disrespect begins to infiltrate. I want to read just a couple of scriptures that I have written here that specifically, again, talk about, these are scriptures from the Old Testament that talk about the importance of this subject to God, the importance of respect. Leviticus 19, verse 3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." And I think we could replace that word fear with reverence. You shall reverence every man, his mother, and his father. Deuteronomy 5:16, and this is Moses kind of saying was the Ten Commandments. But he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And then some verses that talk about the downward spiral the negative results of rebellion. Proverbs 30:17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Leviticus 20, verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." Exodus 21:15, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Again, just a true picture of how important of a subject this is to God. Now, here's some of the, I want to address some of the attitudes that we hear some of the things that are maybe starting to push in as it relates to the issue of authority. And today we're speaking especially about authority towards a father. One is the idea that one failure warrants my withholding respect. So this is the thing that, so my dad makes a mistake and he hurts me, and therefore I can no longer respect him. And I just don't find scripture that supports this idea of us taking away our respect because he has failed in one way. And I mentioned this was part of what I mentioned earlier to the children. We have got to learn that we have got to be gracious at times, and we have to understand that our fathers will make mistakes. And because someone makes a mistake doesn't give me the right not to respect him. We are called to respect the position. Next, the idea that the one in authority must initiate the change. You know, sometimes we think that, okay, so I've been hurt, so then I'm going to retreat and I'm going to just back away, and it's not my responsibility to pursue reconciliation. The other person hurt me, I have no, this is not my problem. And I don't find that scripture teaches that's the true response of a Christian when I've been hurt. We are called to lay down ourselves and extend forgiveness, even if it's hurt me, and even if it's someone that's in a position of authority over me. The next one is the idea that I must confront my father about all the ways he has wronged me in order for me to have healing. And I think we have to understand Scripture. Scripture, freedom in Christ comes not based on what those around, the conditions of those around me and their responses to me. My freedom in Christ and my ability to move past hurts comes through my surrender of myself and the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. It's not based on whether or not the people around me perform. And so this idea that we have to go back and we have to dig up all the past and we have to address all of that, I don't find Scripture to support that thinking. I feel like the responsibility needs to be on me as an individual to take responsibility to extend forgiveness, even though I've been hurt. And then lastly, the idea that respect must be earned. If forgiveness on my part is conditional upon another person's response to me, I have not come to fully understand repentance, reconciliation, and the grace of God. I need to get myself out of the way and extend the grace that God has extended to me. I was not deserving of God's grace, so why is my extension of forgiveness contingent on someone else's response or lack thereof? I do want to note too here in all of this that God does not present respect to parents conditional upon their treatment of them. For God is a God of justice, and there is no reason for parents to place undue burden or mistreatment on their children. I want to be clear this morning that when I talk about forgiveness and talking about respect at all times, it is in no way an excuse for a father to inflict hurt or undue requirements of a child. And we need to be clear of that. God is a God of justice. And mistreatment of children is a horrible thing. And you know, there's few things that disgust me as much as someone who is in a position of protection and is called to a position of protection and does the complete opposite of that. And you know, I believe there is times in cases of abuse when people may have to separate from an abusive relationship. And I would think of the case of Saul and Jonathan, you know, with I'm thinking of a parent-child relationship. Sometimes it gets to a point where you have to separate. There has to be some distance because of the conditions. And so I want to be aware of that, and I want to be conscious of that. But I think even in that, there must be an underlying commitment to maintaining some level of respect and a desire for reconciliation. These situations are difficult, but I do believe that God continues to call us to strive in respect and honor if you're in a case where you have a father that is harsh or cruel. And you would ask why. Why would God continue to ask that? One of the things I think happens is God can bring glory to his name when you respect and honor in a difficult situation. God at times works through harsh environments. These situations are some of the greatest opportunities to show whom you serve. They're really a test of who you are. Now, turn with me to the 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read verses 13 to 25. And these are verses kind of generally in relation to submission, but I believe it speaks very much also to the position of father and child relationship. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I think there's some verses in there that speak powerfully to difficult situations. And the example of Jesus, especially in verse 23, where he says, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And there's some difficult things in life that we can probably never comprehend and we could never solve. And sometimes we just need to commit those things to God. And so I would just encourage anyone that finds yourself in a difficult situation to look to the example of the Lord Jesus and commit it to him who judges righteously. And you know, I do believe that there is a place to confront sin, and I think we have to understand that. But Jesus did leave us a very strong example here being willing to surrender and allow those hurts and the bitterness that can come in holding on to past hurts and surrender that to his judgment. We must remember that bitterness, anger, and resentment toward our Father will only result in our own destruction and will continue a bitter chain, resulting in us becoming like the one we disliked or despised or had difficulty understanding. It is in experiencing the grace and forgiveness of God and then extending that to the one that hurt us that the chain of hurt and pain can be broken and healing can begin. So in conclusion, I would again just encourage us to count our blessings. I think sometimes we just need to recognize how blessed we have been. And think about just even the provision that we've been given. And so many of us have so much more than what so much of the world would desire. And I'm just going to go back to the points that I mentioned at the beginning. Can you have a renewed appreciation for your Father? Can you see beyond his imperfections? Can you understand your duty to honor and respect him? Can you extend forgiveness if you have been hurt or wronged? Can you cultivate a healthy relationship? And are you willing to help make that happen? And again, realize that my failure to do these things is only to my hurt and my own downfall. God has a desire for us to have things be well with us. And if we can follow his plan of honor and respect, he promises that it will be well with thee. Let's kneel to pray.